Well, before we all switch focus to those AFP raids on the AWU, the political blame game raging around the nation this week, and certainly through Canberra, is who's responsible for the problems plaguing the rollout of the national broadband network. Complaints have soared over the past year over the NBN's low speeds, high fees and two-tiered service. Yet as politicians debate whether the network should ever have been built at all, the US Pew Research Group reveals that people increasingly value broadband. Peter Marks is our technology editor. Peter, hello there.
Hello, Fran.
I guess that's no surprise that people increasingly value broadband, but despite all the controversy the NBN finds itself in, do you still think the NBN is a key piece of infrastructure for this country that we absolutely should have?
Absolutely. Look, the National Broadband Network is a great idea, and it should have been a piece of national infrastructure. It should have been planned along the same lines of other major infrastructure like the rail network, like national roads, like the electricity grid and generation. Instead, our government seemed bent on not going into debt, even if that debt will lead to long-term benefits for the economy and just the quality of life in this country.
Four Corners this week pointed out that many customers are unhappy with the NBN. And last week, we spoke with the Telecommunications Ombudsman. The report showed that NBN complaints more than doubled in the past year. But we had Bill Morrow, the CEO of NBN, who says most people are happy.
Yes, and he makes the point that they've had a huge rollout, and many customers who've done the transition to the NBN have had a smooth transition. Now, my own cable connection has at times delivered 93 megabits per second down and 38 megabits per second up. So for me personally, it's been better than I'm paying for. But I have met ADSL users who for years have suffered unreliable ADSL internet connections, probably because the copper is not good. The copper to their homes are not good. And they've basically given up with their previous internet providers. When the NBN comes along, they'd use that as an opportunity to push back and say, right, you've got to fix this. So I feel that there is a big backlog of unreliable copper users out there, and the NBN is facing the cost of getting them fixed.
And cost is one thing too. A lot of the complaints were about the cost of service versus the speed. And, Bill Morrow's answer was, well, look, we want all these extra services, Netflix, etc. We have to pay.
Yeah, that's right. And I think also it's the fact that the thing's got to make money. It's got to pay back. So they are hamstrung by that policy decision. I mean, the other disaster which is looming is the other shoe that is going to drop is the 100 megabit cap that we have with the current technology. And I know that research is being done, but somewhere down the track, we're going to find that 100 megabits is not enough for a home, and it'll be something like virtual reality with 5K per eye, some sort of technology which will be rolled out on Facebook that everyone will want, and suddenly we're going to say, uh-oh, we should have gone fibre to the premises.
We've already talked about Four Corners. Let's talk about 7:30 this week. Ran a disturbing story about how a Dutch filmmaker was tracking a reporter on her daily routine, spying via her mobile phone. How easy is that, Pete, to be tracked on your mobile phone?
Look, mobile phones are an internet-connected device with lots of sensors. Dutch filmmaker Anthony Demir illustrated by installing a number of apps and granting permission to this reporter. He had bypassed all of the security and had handled that person's phone. So this is not a normal sort of scenario, although it does.
Well, actually physically got his hands on the phone and done something.
Installed apps. So the question is, how can I tell if I'm being spied on? On Android, you go to Settings, Apps and Notifications, and tap App Permissions, and you'll have a list of permissions including camera, microphone, location, and SMS, and you can see what apps are using them. And you can turn them off. On iOS, it's Settings, Privacy, and it's, again, Location Services, Microphone, and Camera. So there are valid reasons why apps may want to get your location. For example, the ABC app asks for your location, and that's so it can give you your local weather. So, but do feel free to turn those off.
But so if you go to your apps and turn them all off, does that mean all those apps and services that you used to won't be working for you?
Yes.
I mean, that's not really satisfactory, is it?
Well, I think it's important to understand why they might want access. So, for example, a Bitcoin wallet will want access to your camera, and the reason for that is it needs to read QR codes. But if you don't know why something needs access, then feel free to turn it off. They should handle it gracefully and explain to you, I can't do your local weather because I don't have location access. But look, I think if you feel you're being tracked, then the thing to do is to go and turn all those things off, or in the worst case, to actually wipe the phone, reset the phone and just install the apps that you use. So this is a real problem. And of course, there are built-in ways of tracking. On iOS, it's Find My Friends, and it's on Google Maps, it's Location Sharing. So these are valid ways of tracking, but of course they can be used for evil, particularly in a domestic violence situation.
Yeah, it depends about who's tracking. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Peter Marks, a software developer, GovHack Media Chief, our regular technology editor, and a regular too on RN's Download This Show.